technical difficulty day. I understand the live stream only had the audio of the Ames and their greeting, so apologize for that. Glad that those of you who are here in the sanctuary could see it. And I guess the message and scripture slides are only going to be visible here as well. So for those of you who are viewing via the live stream, I encourage you to get your copy of the Bible out or pull it up on maybe your phone so you can look at God's Word. I've sort of helped all of you out who are here. We've got the scriptures on the slides, but you, I think, will benefit if you have your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to begin at verse 7 today for our scripture reading, and then going to be digging into this portion of God's Word today. So excited to be able to share it with you. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Boy, here's kind of a stunning phrase at the beginning. The end of all things is at hand. And even 2,000 years ago, that's the theological reality. We'll talk a little bit about that. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Imagine there is something that every Christian can do that can make an immediate and powerful ministry impact. There is. There's something every Christian can do that can make an immediate and powerful gospel impact. One of the things that's wrong with Christianity today is that we have often succumbed to and been seduced by casual Christianity rather than full biblical Christianity. And what we're talking about today is not just sort of railing against casual Christianity, but rather providing a concrete, tangible way all of us can embrace and do biblical Christianity. And we could talk about many other things, but today we're talking about one thing, and that is this one thing we as Christians can all do that can make an immediate and powerful ministry impact. And it's this. It's hospitality. It's hospitality. And of course, the casual Christianity that we've been fed has said, no, that's an option. Church is a thing I go to hear messages and get good music to help me worship God. And it's sort of a thing that's served up for me. But biblical Christianity experiences Christ and relates to others in Christ in community. And hospitality is a part of that. And hospitality is a part of how we minister to one another and how we minister together in a way that shines the light of Christ before the world that is so broken in need of gospel hope. So one of those 30 or so one another commands of the New Testament is to do hospitality, show hospitality, offer hospitality. And that's what we're talking about today. And we're going to be seeing how opening our homes and opening our hearts to other believers under the Lord for the work of the Lord is such a powerful ministry tool. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. The Greek word alelon, which I've been saying and we've been looking at as the one another's word is there in 1 Peter 4, 9. In the English translation, there's a couple other times in this set of verses that is translated one another, but actually that's a different Greek word. That's each other. This is that one another word, 1 Peter 4, 9. Hospitality is a way of impacting, of course, non-believers in our world in a profound way. But this passage is focused specifically on ministry to believers. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And we're going to look today at sort of the full orb picture of this in its context and all the things that it entails. And I hope that you're not shutting down already and saying, I can't do that, can't do that. I don't want to hear that one, Pastor Bruce. But rather that we're going to see from God's Word some really encouraging things about how we can do that. And we're going to talk about some practical ways all of us can move forward in hospitality, even in times of COVID and all the uncertainty and all the issues that we may immediately say, well, it's not going to work now. And I say, wait a second. Principle-wise, heart-wise, it always works. That's what Christian community is. And we wouldn't say, oh, Christians can continue on without opening the Bible. Christians continue on without worshiping. Christians continue on without praying. We cannot think Christians can continue to be biblical Christians without embracing the Bible's instructions regarding hospitality. So why is hospitality to one another so vital in a season like this? And I don't want to preach the message. I just want to give you just an encouragement. Like this is really powerful stuff. Here's why. Because hospitality shows we're not freaking out, but we're reaching out. And there's so much freaking out going around right now, and Christians freaking out. And this text, of course, warns us of that. It says, be clear-headed, brothers and sisters. The end of all things is at hand. That is, the next great redemptive event is the return of Jesus Christ and judgment. Don't be freaking out because of that. Don't be bailing out because of that. Don't be withdrawing because of that. Don't be panicking because, oh man, it's getting crazy out there. Rather, trust God and act. Hospitality is a way of clear-headed action. Hospitality is a way of love-fostering, love-expressing action. We're going to see more about that. Hospitality glorifies God. It's God-glorifying action. And hospitality is a way of impacting others by displaying gospel hope. I just get excited about this. Christians, when we live with hope, guess what happens? People say, what's going on with you guys? And we can talk about the gospel. When we relate based on hope, when we relate to one another, showing hospitality in ways that we can that are appropriate, we're putting this hope on display. And people then say, hey, what's with you guys? How come I didn't even think people that were different like you even liked each other? We say, no, we not only like each other, we serve the same Savior. We're filled with the hope given by the same Savior. And then they're going to say, well, how is that? And then we get to say, Jesus crucified and risen, our Savior gives us hope. So this whole hospitality thing is one way that the gospel is put on display. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 speaks of Christians living with hope. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you, that's a non-believer, for the reason for the hope that is in you. When you're living with hope, people are going to ask you about your hope. When we're relating with hope, people are going to ask us about our hope. And when people ask about our hope, we're not going to say, oh yeah, it's because we're cool, we're nice, we're better. You know, when we say, no, it's Jesus. He gives us hope. And that gives us a chance to talk about the gospel that they need for hope. Hospitality is putting hope-filled lives on display. So we're going to today look at hospitality to one another. The action in hospitality, we're going to talk a little more about that. We've already seen that. Attitudes for hospitality. I hope this gives you some encouragement related to that pushback you may have in your heart. The absolute by hospitality. This is an encouraging, like, oh, wow, hospitality does some amazing stuff. It expresses some amazing, God-honoring, gospel-fostering kinds of things. And then activation of hospitality. If you're feeling like, yeah, that would be nice, Pastor Bruce, but I don't think I can do that. Well, I'm going to tell you today how you can do that. The strength to do that, it's right here in this text. Hospitality to one another, action in, attitude for, absolute by, activation of, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I want to just, first of all, as we begin this outline, just to make clear, these verses are addressed to Christians, a community of believers. Incidentally, it was a community of believers in a time of suffering. And 1 Peter was written to Christians who, like, man, the culture doesn't really like us that much. They're pushing against us a lot. And no clear evidence there was physical persecution, but definitely a lot of social persecution, a lot of prejudice against believers there. And Peter didn't, write to them and say, hey, guys, give up. It's horrible. He says, no, trust God and put hope on display. And here's why. Because when we believe in Jesus Christ, God brings us to himself. In fact, the gospel is that Jesus, by his finished work on the cross, brings us to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, Christ suffered once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. That's the gospel. And if you're here today and you haven't received the gospel, I want to make sure you understand that we're not saying just work harder at being nice to people, invite somebody over, or give somebody a warm greeting. First and foremost, you need to have a right relationship with God. And the only way you can have that is by personally receiving Jesus by faith. He's made it possible by his finished work on the cross. The righteous suffered for the unrighteous. But then there's a need for a personal response of faith and trust in him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter's writing to these believers, and he says, you've been born again, not by the word that is perishing, not by that which is perishable, but by the living and abiding word of God. That is the message of the gospel that was preached to you. So if you're hearing the message of the gospel now, Jesus crucified and risen makes possible that you are brought to God now and forever, then by believing in him, you receive that and you are born again. Now, born again is not that you have some crazy emotional experience necessarily, or that it represents your political viewpoint or whatever. No, born again means you've experienced the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who brought you to new life in Christ. That happens when you hear the message of the gospel in a personal response of faith. And of course, what results then is powerful and encouraging and life-transforming. You now have hope. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So as a Christian, you're going around, you always have hope that you know that you've been brought to God now and forever. And no matter what you're going through, God has you, and you're going to your eternal home when Jesus comes. And of course, then 1 Peter 3:15 plays right into that, right? So you're living with hope, relating with hope, encouraging others with hope, and then you're going to have opportunities to speak about the hope that you have. So if you are here today, listening today, or listening to this some other time in the future, I want to ask you, have you received Jesus by faith? If you haven't, you don't have hope. You don't have a living hope for sure, and you have not been brought to God. But if you do receive Jesus by faith, you have hope, a living hope, and because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, you've been brought to God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is just a wonderful summary of that reality of personal faith. For by grace you have been saved, this is written to believers, through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Take that step today if you haven't taken. And if you have taken that step, let's talk today about living lives where that hope is put on display by displaying hospitality to one another. The action in hospitality. This is a command. This is a command to believers to offer hospitality to other believers. What other Bible command would we sort of ignore and say, that one we can ignore? Can you imagine if a Christian said, I don't pray. I ignore that one. It's not one's for me. I don't read my Bible. I don't worship. Well, then why do we think that we can ignore the command to hospitality? Makes no sense, right? This is something God wants Christians to do. Biblical Christianity, the real thing, not casual one, is one which embraces the command to practice hospitality. Now, I'm going to give you some encouragement here in a little bit that maybe those of you are saying, man, I don't know where to start. I'm going to give you some ideas on where to start. If this seems overwhelming to you, especially during COVID, I'm going to give you some things in just a few minutes. You're going to be like, I think I maybe can do that. So I want to encourage you along here, but this is a command. Show hospitality to one another. The word hospitality, that Greek word, it combines two words. It's a really interesting word. One word is love, philos, and the other word is stranger. Can you imagine two words put together that kind of more often are not put together? Love, the stranger. And of course, in the ancient world, a lot of times there weren't good hotels, safe hotels. So when someone was traveling from town to town, the only way they weren't sort of stuck outside in the elements was that somebody took them in. Somebody loved the stranger. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, we're exhorted there to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. It's referencing an Old Testament event. We're showing hospitality. Somebody back there actually entertained an angel. Notice here, though, in this verse, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, that love of strangers is shown to one another, other Christians. So not really strangers. You probably don't know them that well, though. Or if you do, you could get to know them better. And so that's the idea here. Show hospitality to other believers in a way that fosters their being ministered to by the Lord and you together ministering for the Lord. Show hospitality to one another then is a command to action. It's a command to action. Now, speaking of action, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you have a cell phone, to please take it out. I'm asking you to please take it out. You can, at some point in this, you can reject me, but please just take it out, okay? And if you're at home, please take out your cell phone. The reason why is we're going to give you something we can do together that's going to put in front of you some tangible things that you can consider. So if in your cell phone right now, if you're willing to stay with me, if you text this number, 781-242-5253. You text the word another. Not the word welcome, another. A-N-O-T-H-E-R. Take out your phone in the... My son gives me a hard time because I do this really bad. So here's what you need to do. Where it says 2 on your text, put in that number, 781-242-5253. Let's try it. 781. We got it, buddy?
People can't see the screen. They seem to be slow with the number and the words.
Okay.
So they can't see your slides.
Thank you. Only you guys can see my slides. Okay. So here's the number we want to put in. And this will show you a list of options. You may say, Pastor Bruce, I don't know what I'm doing. Neither do I, okay? So if you text those 781, this number, 781-242. 5253. Anybody do that? And type the word another. Don't type praise Jesus another, I'm going to come to Trinity another, anything else another. Only A-N-O-T-H-E-R. Anybody doing this? If you text that right now, and if you do this at home, 781-242-5253 and another. I'm doing it right now. And what you're going to get back is an opportunity to just fill in your contact information, name, address, phone number, and then You're going to receive, that response is going to come to you. Then you're going to receive a list that looks like this. And you're going to be able to read it. A day for hospitality, a place of hospitality, a tool for hospitality, a class for building hospitality, a heart for hospitality to children, a vision for hospitality for growing together, multiple interests in hospitality. And if you're listening at home, if you text another to that number, 781-242-5253, you're going to be able to get that list after you just fill out the quick contact information. And then you're going to be able to say, okay, which of those can I do? And if you're here without your cell phone, just remember this number. We'll pass it on to you. I want to talk a little bit about these things, these options. Which of the following you may be feeling led to explore? And you could even look at this list for a while and pray about it and decide later. You don't have to make any choice immediately. If you do commit to one, though, then we're going to help you. We're going to give you some encouragement. Let's talk about a day for hospitality. One of the exciting things that happen when we gather here physically that you can't do by gathering at home is that we actually see people. Isn't it great? And there's even some folks in the FLC. And I want to encourage us, don't rush out and get in your car and go. Don't do that, please. When you exit this sanctuary, this main worship area, or the FLC, in the orderly way we ask you to go, hang around. We got a nice little yard over here. We even have a park across the street. If you're there at home thinking about coming, it works, doesn't it? It all works, right? Come on out. And besides the worshiping together, we go out those doors or the other doors from the FLC, and we can hang out in the yard across the street or the parking lot, socially distanced, and we can have some conversations with each other. And maybe some of you want to say, you know what, I'm going to be committed to a day of hospitality to use gathering on Sundays to welcome others, to connect with others. What a beautiful thing. And we can encourage one another in that way. Let's talk about a place for hospitality. I want to use my home, yard, or computer screen, if you're only doing virtual stuff, as a site for ministry, for gospel connections, and building relationships. Hey, folks, I am so pumped about the 10 Trinity families that are opening their backyard for Backyard VBS. Not just because of the ministry that can happen to those kids there, but because that's the mentality we all need to have. You are a ministry site for Trinity Community Church. Your apartment, your home, wherever you live, you're a ministry site. Imagine, what if we were forced to be, the church can't meet except in groups of 10. Well, if we've got everybody opening their home to ministry sites, we're fine. We keep ministering. We just encourage everybody in those. So we've got this totally wrong idea of this Christianity as I go to a place and get some ministries and programs and then I go home. No, we're in community together. Make your home a ministry site. If you're saying, hey, I want to use my yard, my home, or my computer screen as a ministry site, we want to help you do that. A place of hospitality. And you can think creatively about how you can do that. One way that most people can, you know, whenever you've gathered with somebody these last few weeks, and I know you have, almost all of you, you've gathered with somebody, family, whatever, what if you just added one or two others? What if you just said, hey, you know what? Are there a few others I can add to this? Or out in the yard we can do it. Or at least on the computer we can do it. Think beyond just those that you're currently meeting with, just a few. Or go outside and walk around your neighborhood and just see if people will converse. Just think about your home as a ministry site. There's a tool for hospitality we have at Trinity Community Church. It's a powerful tool. And I know for some it may seem like, oh, that's really confusing, but it's this thing called Realm. And here's the thing, folks. We are shifting so that signups for all ministry things are going to be happening through Realm. It's fall small groups. Soon will be worship service. It's not just Inside Out and VBS. We need everybody who has the capacity to access the internet to activate their Realm account. Why? Because we want to foster hospitality. And if you are like, I have no idea what this Realm thing is, well, we want to help you do it. If you're like, I know what it is, but I can't do it, we want to help you do it. If you want to get the Realm activation, we can help you do it. So some of you might want to say, hey, I just want to use this tool. You can foster hospitality at ministry by being part of Realm. And you can use Realm, many of you have not even begun to tap it, to foster hospitality. How do you know the addresses of people you want to write cards to? They're on Realm. They're right there. You don't have to call the office. It's all accessible if we just use the tool. This Trinity online virtual cloud-based tool for connections. Here's another one. If you're newer to Trinity, you may be overwhelmed by all this stuff, and maybe we just need to kind of set the welcome mat out for you, and that is our Next Steps class. And I know there's been folks connecting virtually that have only visited Trinity a few times or not at all. Our Next Steps class is going to be on Zoom in September, and we want to help those who are newer to Trinity just to sort of experience a little bit of welcome, learn a little bit about our beliefs, learn about how you can connect more at TCC. So if you're listening, you're like, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to do all this other stuff, but I want to know more about Trinity and connect here. Let us know your interest in the Next Steps class for those who are newer. That'll be coming up on Zoom in September. You know, one group that we are struggling with how to connect is our children. I'm so happy for VBS, but we want to, as we move into fall, do a better job of connecting kids and families. We're not sure how, but if you want to help us with hospitality for children in the midst of COVID-19, you might want to check that one. If you want to open your home for a small group this fall, or maybe use your time for a virtual small group, and you haven't been processing with Pastor Derek yet, you might want to indicate that, a vision for hospitality, for growing together in small groups. These are just varieties of options, folks. And if you're excited about several, then number 7 is for you. And we'll talk more with you about that. Maybe you've got creative ideas. This past week, a couple of folks called me with creative ideas. They were reaching out to others. It blessed my heart so much. So God may be stirring you up in some creative ideas that you can connect to open your home, open your heart, hospitality to one another. Let's just look quickly at a few other things here. That's the action in hospitality. Text 781-242-5253. That number, and write another, and you'll get an opportunity to consider that whole list and let us know how we can help. You know, when people hear about hospitality and the biblical command, or when they actually do it and it doesn't go that well, let's say that person comes in and messes up your bathroom or stays too long or whatever, right? You can be like, ah, why did I do that hospitality thing anyway? I can't believe, you know, so-and-so did such and such. And here's a warning, the attitude of hospitality. Whatever you're doing, do it with joy, or the impact is going to be lessened significantly. And ultimately, doing it with grumbling is not just grumbling about the person and what they did. It really is grumbling against God. It points to a lack of trust in God. It points to you're not so sober-minded and clear-headed, and something's probably going to be getting in your way, your prayers, chapter 4, verse 7. So the attitude is to do without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's the attitude for hospitality. And of course, when we do whatever we do with joy as unto the Lord, God uses it not only in expanding his work, but blessing us. Then there's the absolute by hospitality. This is really important for us to see. The previous verse frames hospitality as an expression of love. Think of that. You know, love one another is the most frequently commanded of all the one another's. But a lot of times we're like, well, what is that? Sounds like a good thing. How do I show love? Hospitality is one way you show love. A warm welcome toward another person is a tangible demonstration of love. And when Peter moves from above all, keep loving one another earnestly, and that earnestly is intensely. How do you love intensely? Well, show hospitality is one concrete way. It's really a way of fostering this transforming Christ-like love in a community of believers. And notice the reason for that, since love covers a multitude of sins. What's that about? Apparently, when we as Christians are going about our relationships and church community, we do things that bother one another. Anybody experience that? We do things that hurt one another. And what love does, and hospitality is like this, it kind of makes you forget that stuff. It's kind of like a protective coating of all the little irritants that you're like, yeah, you know what, you can just let that go. Hey, you see how this works? Imagine there's somebody who's your brother or sister, and they've done something, said something, it kind of bothered you, kind of hurt you, kind of upset you. But then you reach out to them, and then you have a conversation with them, or then you have them over. And you know what happens? You forget about it. Rather than staying home, oh, she did this, he did that. When you show love tangibly in hospitality, a lot of that little stuff that should be forgotten is easily forgotten. And when you don't, you're holding on to it. And it's causing problems in you and in relationship and in church community. Love is like this, I mean, hospitality, the expression of love is like this protective coating that makes church work, makes relationships happen well. And when we pull back and keep to ourselves, we don't get the protective coating. So that absolute by hospitality is it demonstrates transforming Christ-like love. And then there's the activation. Some of you are saying to me, you know, it'd really be good, Pastor Bruce, but I can't do it. I just can't. I'm not my personality type, not my gifting, and whatever. And of course, we see in the following verses that there's a lot of different gifting, but everybody's responsible to show hospitality. Some might be better at it. Some may have a knack for it, but everybody's responsible to show it. So where do you get the power? The power for serving, including hospitality, comes from God. It comes from God. Look to God, trust in God, grow in God, take in the Word of God, call out to God, and guess what happens? You get strength. You know, one of the things that's going on during this time of COVID and national social unrest, your strength's getting sapped. And when you're fretting about this, fretting about this, fretting about this, fretting about this, you know what happens? You got no energy for nothing. Now, there's certain validity in getting informed and staying on top of things and proper prudence, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what we need to spend more time doing? Getting the strength. As you look to the Lord, trust in the Lord, call out to the Lord, and worship the Lord. And then he fills you with the fuel that you're not only doing what you were doing before, you're doing more than you're doing before. You're able to show hospitality. You're able to open your heart and creative ways reach out to others. And of course, that's why prayers is up there in verse 7. When you're calling out to God, God's refueling your tank so you can have the power to act and demonstrate hospitality. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, this is verse 11, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength God provides. God gives the strength for activating hospitality. So the action in hospitality, that's a command of the Bible. The attitude for hospitality is to do with joy, not with grumbling. The absolute by hospitality expresses love. Powerful, transforming love. And the activation of hospitality is, of course, it comes from God. God gives us the strength as we look to him and trust in him. If you haven't texted that 781-242-5253, I encourage you to do so. Write another. Nothing else, nothing short of that, just another. You'll get a response. You can fill out your contact information. We can help you with those options and encourage you. And you know what? You'll be committed to something. You'll feel like, yeah, I'm moving forward in this hospitality thing with God's help and guidance. And you know what's going to happen when we do? When we serve God with the strength he provides, when we're keeping clear-headed, trusting Him, expressing love by hospitality. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. What results is God is glorified. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him, that is Jesus Christ, belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Don't you want to bring that praise to God? Isn't it exciting that we can do that as a community together? Isn't it a great opportunity that we can put hope on display so that others can join the chorus as they hear and receive the gospel? Let's act in hospitality. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank you for this clear instruction. For its encouragement regarding our attitude, regarding the powerful expression of love that comes as we do. Thank You for Your strength, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that You're going to use different people, personalities, giftings in different ways, but all of us serving You and creatively, Lord, as we submit to You, being led and being able to show hospitality to one another. And help us, Lord, as we do, that we'd be looking outward as well, that we would give a reason for the hope that we have in Christ, that others who need the gospel, Lord, might be ministered to as we reach out as well. Lord, we look to You. We trust in You. We thank You that in these days, Lord, You are our rock, and we want to praise Jesus, our Savior, upon whom we stand. We thank You, Lord, for the secure life we have in Him now and forever, and we lift Him up. We want Him to be glorified, and we thank You, Lord, and pray it in His name. Amen. Let's stand, praise Jesus together as we